given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And when you get there, say amen. Galatians chapter 4. Amen. Amen. Are you there yet? Galatians chapter 4, verse number 1. I'm going to just read this from the NIV. I'm just going to read it from the NIV. The Apostle Paul says, what I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in bondage under the elemental spiritual warfare, spiritual forces. You know, the principalities, the powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, those guys. Amen. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, those who were in bondage, so that we might receive adoption to sonship. And because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Amen. So this is part two of a three-part series that I am teaching right now called Christian Privileges. Christian Privileges. And I told us last week that as children of the Most High God, okay, as children of the Most High God, we have received some special privileges that we did not have before we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, okay? We have received some special privileges that we did not have before we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, amen. But because many Christians are not fully aware, okay? Because many Christians do not fully understand what the Christian life is all about, they do not know of these special privileges that we have. They do not know of them, amen, the privileges that they have received by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They don't know of them. And as a result of them not knowing, instead of receiving God's best for their life, they settle for anything. Instead of being the best people or person who they can be, instead of doing the best that they can do, instead of giving their best, they just settle for anything, amen, and they settle for just barely getting by, okay? They settle for the minimum. They settle for mediocrity. They settle for just being average, okay, in this lifetime. And they settle for the same thing that they settled for before they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, they're still living the same life, doing the same things. Are y'all still with me? But I want us to remind us that as children of the Most High God, we do not have to just settle for anything anymore, okay? We do not have to settle for the things we settled for prior to Jesus. Why? Because we have been born again. Well, Pastor, I know I've been born again. But you have been born again, okay? You and I, if you are a Christian, and if you're not one, you can be one today. That's not cost you anything. But you have been born of the Spirit. And by being born of the Spirit of God, we have received some special privileges, once again, that we did not have prior to accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, there are many privileges that we have received. But last week, I focused on just three of those privileges, and I'm going to continue this lesson today. The first privilege is that, number one, we have access to the Father, okay? We have access to God the Father, amen. We have access to God, but we did not have access prior to accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We have access to God because of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are y'all still with me? Number two, we have victory through Jesus Christ in every area of our life. His victory is your victory if you are a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you can be one today. And number three, we have become heirs of the kingdom. Heirs of the kingdom through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So those are three privileges that we do not have prior to accepting Jesus. Number one, we have access to the Father. We don't have to go through the priest anymore to get to the Father. We have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. Number two, we have victory through Jesus Christ. And number three, we are heirs of the kingdom because of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? And listen to this. Those privileges that we have, we did not have to pay for them. We did not have to cheat to get them. We did not have to steal them from anyone. We did not have to scam anyone for anything, okay? We received those privileges because Jesus Christ paid the price for us. Amen? And when we accepted him as Lord and Savior, those privileges were given to us automatically, okay? We didn't have to do anything else, you know, but they came as a package. Y'all still with me? So once we accepted Jesus Christ, my status and your status changed immediately, okay? It changed immediately. You're not the same person who you used to be. You may feel like the same person, but you're not the same person. Your status changed immediately. Your status changed from old to new. And how many of you know there's a big difference between old and new? Are y'all still with me? Amen. You are not the same person who you used to be. Once again, if you are a Christian, you have been born again, and your status changed from old to new. The Bible tells us that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. I want you to go there. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen. I'm not moving around too much today. Amen. Y'all pray for Pastor Ron. He had a weak stomach a little bit, but I'm healing. I believe I'm healing in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Chapter 5. Amen. I want you to see this. I know you've seen it before, but I want to point some things out in this series of scripture. Look at what the Bible says here in verse 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a what? Notice the Bible didn't say you're the same person who you used to be. The Bible says you are a new creature. You are new. You received a new spirit. You are new. And then the Bible says, old things are what? All things have what? It's talking about you, if you're a Christian. It's talking about me. If we are in Christ, we are new. The old has passed away, okay? All things have become new. In other words, you're not the same person who you used to be, you know? You are new in Christ Jesus. You've been born again. Y'all still with me? And look what the Bible says here. And all things are of God, okay? I like to put the word new in between the word all and things. And all new things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. All new things are God. So before we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, we were old. You know, we read the scriptures where the Bible says we were being controlled by the spiritual forces of this world, the negative forces. But now since we've accepted Jesus Christ, we're not old anymore. We are new. I'm not talking about in age. I'm talking about in spirit. Are y'all still with me? Are y'all still with me? I want to make sure I pointed that out. We are not old anymore. We are new. Y'all still with me? And because we are new, we do not have to settle for the old things we used to settle for before we became new. We cannot just settle for anything anymore. Okay, we can't settle for anything anymore, Christians. You know, we have to always strive for the best, to be the best, to do the best, to receive the best. Instead of striving for less, we have to strive for more and more and more. Why? Because the God who made us new is a God who is more than enough. In other words, we should be receiving excess so we can share with other people. Are y'all still with me? So we have been made new, so we cannot live the old way anymore. We have to live as though we are new. Because the Bible tells us we are new, so we have a new way of living in life, not the old way, but the new way. Because the scriptures tell us that. I want you to see it here. I want you to go to Galatians chapter, I want you to go to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, I want you to see it. Because a lot of Christians don't know this. They don't know this. And you have to know that you're not the same. Because if we do not know that we are not the same, we are going to continue to act the same way we acted before we accepted Jesus Christ. We're going to continue to settle for the same things we settled for before we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Amen. This is talking about you if you are a Christian. Paul is talking to the church of Rome. Look at verse number 1. Look at what he said. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? See, sin kept you old. But when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he washed your sins away. You became new. Y'all still with me? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Then the Bible says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? When Jesus got baptized, if you were a Christian, it was your baptism. Y'all still with me? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you was baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And then the Bible says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And then the Bible tells us all the way down verse 16, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Y'all see that? Amen. And verse 18 says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. 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 And then the Bible tells us, go all the way back over to verse number 10. For in that he died into sin once, but in that he liveth into God. Likewise, reckon yourself also to be dead indeed into sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And then the Bible tells us in verse 13, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but you yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So once again, we can't live like the old man no more. We have a new way of living. And the new way of living is a life of success in every area of our life. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid the price for us on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Once again, no, verse 6, knowing that the old man is crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. You made new. And we have to understand and accept the fact that we have made new, because once again, if we do not, we will continue to do the same old things we did before we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Is anyone hot in here besides me? You're not hot? You're hot. Amen. Woof. Amen. And how many of you know that because we have been made new, the Holy Spirit now lives on the inside of us? Because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And how many of you know that the Holy Spirit could not live on the inside of us when we were old? The only way that he could live on the inside of us is that we had to be made new. Okay, we had to be made new. Because you can't put the Holy Spirit in an old body, because if you put him in an old body, he'll burst your body wide open. That's why sinners can't accept the Holy Spirit. People who are not saved, he won't live in their body. Because you can't put old and new. And new and old. And Jesus talked about that in Mark chapter 2. He was talking about, the disciples asked him, John's disciples fast, and the Pharisees, why can't we fast, or something to that effect. And Jesus gave them an example. He said, you can't mix old with your new. He said, the bridegroom, you don't need to fast because the bridegroom is here with you. And then he gave them an example about the old and the new. And he said, you don't want to put new wine in an old body. Because you'd be an old bottle, because if you put new wine in an old bottle, then it will burst the bottle. Y'all still with me? And that's exactly what would happen if the Holy Spirit came to live in an unsaved person. It would burst them wide open. We had to be made new. Are y'all still with me? And the Bible tells us, the scriptures tells us that we should walk, in verse 4 of chapter 6, we should walk in newness of life. Okay? Verse 4, at the end of the verse, the Bible says, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Means that the word walk means to live. Not just walking around the streets, but means to live. So we should live like we are new, not old. But a lot of Christians still walking around like they're old. And they're missing out on the privileges that God has given to us, because they're walking around just saying, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, make up your mind. Are you a sinner or are you saved by grace? Now, we all mess up sometimes. But you have been delivered, okay? You are not the same old person you used to be spiritually. You are new, and we have to walk in newness, because if not, we will continue to settle for the same things we settled for before we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Are y'all still with me? Last week, we talked about having access to God. And I'm not going to be there alone, because we covered that last week. But I mentioned the fact that because you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we receive free access to God. In other words, we can go to God in prayer. And before we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you know, we did not have an intercessor, you know, to go to God on our behalf. Jesus took that role for us, okay? He died for you and me. He was buried. He was resurrected. And that the Bible says he's seated on the right-hand side of the Father. And because we have accepted him as Lord and Savior, now we go to the Father through Jesus Christ. Y'all still with me? We go through Jesus Christ. Amen. But prior to that, you know, back in the Old Testament, the man used to have to go through the priest because of Adam and Eve's sin. But by being made new, we don't have to go to the priest anymore. We can go straight to God through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. We have access through prayer. For those of you who were not here last week, I want to show you this right quick. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Amen, amen, amen. Ephesians chapter 2. What a mighty God we serve. Amen.
Are y'all all right?
Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. I got to get some water. Amen, amen, amen. Look at verse number 13. Let's start there. The Bible says in verse 13, it said, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, that's before you got saved, are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. I mentioned last week that in the temple, they had a wall up and the Gentiles was on one side and the Jews was on the other side. But when Jesus Christ tore that wall down, you know, through his death, burial, and resurrection, and now the Bible says everybody can be saved. Y'all still with me? And then it says, having abolished in his flesh, verse 15, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he both reconciled both unto God, the Jews and the Gentiles, in one body by the cross, having slain his enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were near. For through him, talking about Jesus, for through him we both have what? Access by what? One Spirit into the Father. We have access through Jesus by one Spirit, and that one Spirit is who? The Holy Spirit. We have access through Jesus, through Jesus, we have access to Jesus by the Holy Spirit unto the Father. In other words, Jesus and the Holy Spirit played a part in us having access to God. We don't have to go to no man. We can go straight to God through Jesus Christ. Y'all still with me? Okay. And then the Bible tells us in verse 19, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Access. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible tells us we have access through Christ. In chapter 3, the verse 12 tells us, I'm reading in NIV, it says, in him, through faith in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. In other words, when we go to God, we don't have to go to him like we're afraid. We don't have to go to God wondering if he's going to honor his word by supplying our need. When the Bible already said, he shall supply our need. When we have a need, whatever the need is, whatever the need. Notice I didn't say want. I said need. There is a difference between a want and a need. Y'all still with me? But when we go to God with that need, okay, we can go to him in confidence, knowing that our God shall supply all of our need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. The one whose death, burial, and resurrection made us new by accepting him, Jesus Christ. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So in Christ Jesus, we have earned the right through Christ Jesus to walk in victory. We have earned the right to win in every area of our life. We have earned the right to be our best, do our best, look our best, give our best, because God is the best, and he gave his best. Y'all still with me? We have earned that right, okay, to not lose in life, but to win in every area of our life. Amen. And we have to understand that the Christian life, it's much more than just coming to church on Sunday. The Christian life is much more than struggling to get on out of bed on Sunday morning to get to church. Y'all still with me? This Christian life is more than just not going to hell when you die. The Christian life is much more than just getting by in life, just receiving the minimum, just receiving mediocrity, because some people receive mediocrity, they, you know, because they don't understand who they are in Christ Jesus. The Christian life is much more than those things. The Christian life is about being highly, somebody say highly, highly successful in every area of your life, not just some areas, but every area. It's about being highly successful in every area of your life. It's about accomplishing major achievements in your life through Christ Jesus, not just getting by, but accomplishing major achievements in your life. Amen. Amen. It's about living a life of happiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the life is about. Romans 12:14. Happiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's about not waiting until we die to be victorious. It's about being victorious right now on earth. It's about winning. Even when people say you're a loser, you're still a winner. Why? We are winners because Jesus won. Are y'all still with me? We are winners because Jesus won. Amen. And it's about recognizing that fact. That if Jesus won, we are winners because privilege number two, his victory is our victory. If you are a Christian. If not, you can be one today. His victory is our victory. Everything that Jesus did, don't you know we get credit for it? We just saw the scripture in Romans, we were buried with him. We will be raised with him. There's another verse in the Bible, in Ephesians, that we are seated with him in high places. Everything that Jesus did, we get credit for, if you are a Christian. You have to know that. Because the enemy will come and make you think that you're the same person who you used to be. Your mama was nothing, your father was nothing, your sister was nothing, your brother was nothing. We'll make you think you're going to be something. But if you are a child of the Most High God, you have been born again. The Bible says all things are passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God. And God is good all the time. Y'all still with me? All of the time. Amen. Amen. Jesus' victory is your victory. Y'all still with me? See, we have to understand that once we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our address changed. You talking about moving on up to the east side. No, we moved up higher than that. You don't just have a piece of the pie. You got the whole pie and more. Y'all still with me? We relocated. Don't you know that the Bible tells us that we were moved into to a different kingdom? See, there are a lot of kingdoms out there. But we were delivered to a different kingdom. Pastor, I was? Yes, you were. I didn't know that. You need to know it. Because if you don't know it, Satan's going to keep lying to you to tell you you're still the same who you used to be. And we're going to believe it. You have been moved. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 1. You have been moved. Christians, you're not the same. Well, Pastor, I look the same. Well, you might look the same. With that same sad look on your face. But look, you need to start smiling. You know, I remember a long time ago, you know, I guess I always had a serious look on my face. And I went to, somebody told me once. They said, you know, when I was younger, they said, Ron, they said, why you look, you're always mad. I said, really? They said, yeah. So, you know what I did? I looked in the mirror so I could see myself. And when I looked in the mirror, I looked like I was mad. I said, I got to change it. I got to start smiling more. And there's this barbershop down on Rancier. I don't go to them anymore, but I used to go to them for years. And they, you know what my nickname was down there? Smiley Face. Hey, Smiley Face. Because I started smiling. Somebody told me that I look mad. I don't want to look mean, all and mad all the time. I started smiling. Y'all still with me? As Christians, it's time for us to stop being sad. It's time for us to start smiling. It's time for us to start laughing. When the enemy come in and start telling these lies and attack us, because he will attack us, there ain't no need to be all sad. Listen, you need to start smiling. You need to know your latter will be better than your former. You need to know that God knows your ending before the beginning. You need to know that you're not going to win. You have already won. You got to know that. Yeah, we get caught off guard sometimes. Yeah, we get sad sometimes. We go through things. Well, you know, one day we'll say, wait a minute. Like King David said, he was all, they want to stone him and all that stuff. The Bible said he was discouraged. But David said, the Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. David probably said, well, wait a minute. All these people mad with me. They blaming me for their wives and their children. And they want to stone me. And it's only just me against the whole world. And then he probably said, wait a minute. My God is the one who created them and the whole world. And instead of listening to what the people said, David wanted to hear what God said. God, should I pursue? And God said, David, now you might not want to do it. That's not what God said, is it? He said, pursue and recover all. See, it's, I'm telling you, Christian, Satan is, that's him that's attacking you. He's using people to do it. But that's an evil spirit. Don't you buy that mess. The Bible says he's a liar and the father lies. Whose report do you believe? The Bible says God can't lie. So if God said you are what you are, that's who you are. I don't feel like it. Well, he never said feel like. Sometimes, y'all know the commercial? There you go. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. That's a candy bar. I'm not calling nobody no nut. Amen, amen. Don't be writing me up. Pastor Ron said I was a nut. I ain't say that. that reminds me of many years ago. I told some of y'all this. A long time ago, I was in El Paso. I was kind of like, I was instructing at the Sergeant's Major Academy down there. And, I used to go to a friend of mine was a pastor. And I did an illustration. He wanted me to preach one Sunday. And I did an illustration. And I had this guy to play Jesus and this other dude to play the devil. Just an illustration. And I went back there the next week, and the pastor said, Pastor Ron, that brother mad with you. I said, he mad with me? He said, yeah. I said, what is he upset with me for? He said, because you said you had him, you said he was a devil. That's true. I'm telling you the truth. That's the truth. I had to go apologize to the brother. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I just use you as an example. You married me for a whole week. And while he mad with me, I'm out there in happiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what happens when you're holding grudges against somebody. You got something against them and you won't forgive them. You all messed up and they out there living happiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. They ain't thinking about that mess no more. We're holding grudges. You better let that thing go. The enemy, that's the enemy, is holding you back from receiving something that God is trying to get to you. Spiritual warfare. Whenever God is trying to get something to you, the enemy is going to always rise up to cause you to focus on him instead of focusing on the things that God has for you. People say, Satan riding my back. Throw him off. The Bible never said ride him. It said throw him off. It said resist him and he will flee. Throw him off. Y'all still with me? People walking around talking about, I've been fighting the devil all week. What are you fighting him for? The Bible never tells us to fight the devil. The Bible says fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 2:15, for those of you who are taking note. Don't fight the devil. What, Christian, why should we fight someone who has already been defeated? Jesus beat him up a long time ago on the cross of Calvary. It's almost getting, if you were boxing and you boxing and you knock, if you knock somebody out and the guy's thing is over and they lift you up and you be like, no, I still got to go fight him. The battle you won. You know, my wife, you know, she like to watch the reruns of the football games. She's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Now, if they lose, she would not watch it. But they win, she'll watch the highlights. She might keep them for a whole year. And sometimes she'd be watching the game, and the game played like 8 months ago. And, Ron, come here, watch this. I was a baby, I saw that 8 months ago. I can't believe he missed that field goal. Hey, but they already won the game. It don't matter if he missed it on the rerun. The game is over. And Christians, you have to know that the game is over. You won because Jesus won. I don't feel like it. You're right, because Satan's not going to make you feel like it. Man, my children acting up. Don't worry about it. Pray for them. Pastor Ron making me mad. Pray for me. The enemy do not want you to receive what God has for you. So he's causing you to focus on something negative instead of focusing on who you are in Christ Jesus. You win because Jesus won. Why? Because his victory is your victory. You got to know that, Christians. You have to know that you've been translated from the old to the new. You have been moved to a brand new kingdom. You're not in that same place you used to be. And I'm going to show it to you. Are you at Colossians chapter 1? Did I tell you to go there? Amen, amen, amen. I know y'all thought I forgot, didn't you? Amen. Look at what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul is talking to the Christians at Colossae. Look at what he said here. He said, let's start with verse 9. He said, for this cause, talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, he's talking to these Christians there. He's trying to encourage them to let them know, listen, some things have changed since you accepted Jesus Christ. And we're going to continue to pray for you. You know, things have changed. And look at what he said here. He said, what verse did I just read? Thank you. Verse 10 says, so that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful. Fruitful. That word fruitful means full of fruit. Being fruitful in every good work and doing what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. That means we need to, as children of the Most High God, we cannot, like Joshua says, do not let the word of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate day and night, because you got to continue to study the word so you can increase in knowledge, because no one knows everything. No pastor knows everything, no bishop, apostle, whatever they want to call themselves. They don't know everything, because the Bible notes said we know in part. So we have to always study. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved, what your title is, what your title is not. We have to always study the word, stay in the word, hear the word, amen, when it's being taught. Why? Because we have to always increase in knowledge. Y'all still with me? And then the Bible said, strengthened with all might, according to Jesus, his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. In other words, we got to be able to endure. Giving thanks unto the Father, verse 12, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in high. Y'all ready? Look at verse 13. Who has done what? Done what? Who has delivered us. Listen, Christians, not when he come back. When he comes back, we're going with him, if you're a Christian. He is not waiting until he come back to deliver us. The Bible said he has delivered. That means already done. I know y'all know that. Do you see that? He has delivered us from the power of what? Remember I read Galatians earlier in chapter 6, and Paul told them, he said, so also when we were underage, we were in bondage under the elemental of spiritual forces. Remember I read that? The Bible said he has delivered us from the darkness. Y'all see that? He has delivered us from the darkness. Where it says us, put your name right there if you're a Christian. If you're not one, you can be today. He who has delivered Ron from the power of darkness. See? He has delivered us from the power of darkness. I know I said it 2 or 3 times. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and did what? Translated Ron. Put your name there and make it personal. Translated Lila. Translated Greg. Translated Brother Harris. Thank you, Brother Harris. I appreciate you. Amen. Translated us into what? The what? Which kingdom was it? A few years ago, son. We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That tells me that I've been moved from the old to the new. I'm not in the old darkness anymore. Listen to this. But darkness still exists. And Satan's always trying to bring you back to it. But we need to remind Satan, say we don't live in darkness anymore. We've been delivered to the light. Okay? Has delivered us from the power of darkness. Not just darkness, but the power of darkness. And Satan is still trying to control us with that dark power. By causing us to be oppressed, depressed, and all kind of other presses. Causing us to be sad all the time, mad all the time, upset all the time, holding grudges all the time. You want to blame anybody, blame him. And blame yourself for allowing him to put you in this situation. See? We've been delivered from that into the kingdom of his dear son. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. If Jesus Christ, if God has forgiven us for our sins, and we are heirs to the kingdom, I haven't got there yet, I might not get there to next week, then if he has forgiven us, why can't we forgive others? I tell you why. Because we don't understand that we are made new. We still think that we are old. And we're holding grudges. And sometimes as Christians, we find ourselves in situations where we say, well, girl, I'm telling you what. Man, I tell you what. I'm going to have to take my Christian hat off for a minute. I got to get them straight. Listen, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, to put on the whole armor of God, and it never tells us to take it off. Put on the whole armor of God so we should be able to stand up against the tricks or the wiles or the cleverness of the devil. I always say, spiritual warfare. See? And the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us trying to lead and guide us in the right direction. That's why the Bible tells us, see, you know, people read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, present your body, living sacrifice, wholly accepted to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not transformed, conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of mind. People just read the scripture because it's there. But we have to think about what it's saying. The reason why it's telling us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, is because we're able to do it. Why? Because we've been delivered out of darkness until to the kingdom of his dear son. Another verse says we've been delivered from darkness unto his marvelous light. So now we have to do something with the body. We have to do something with the mind. See? We don't have to do anything with the spirit because God has already taken care of that. Once you accept that Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you receive a new spirit. But you still have the same mind. You still have the same body. That's why the Bible says to renew your mind, present your body so it can become new also. Y'all still with me? Because if not, we're going to still settle for the same things we settled for before we got saved. And then we're going to come to church and lift our hands to the Lord. Father, I love you because you really care. I wouldn't imagine if you wasn't there. And go right back out there and do the same thing we did before we came to church. How many of you know we can fool man, but we can't fool God? Anybody can put on a religious act. Are y'all still with me this morning? Trying to help us this morning. And guess what? This word is not just for you. It's for me too. But that's the same. Pastor, you don't know what they did. But God knows. And he still say, forgive. It's hard to forgive. Well, you need to go to God so he can help you. But if he said forgive, that means that it's able to be done. Are y'all still with me? So we have received a new address just by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And through that deliverance, into another kingdom, how many of you know we win with Jesus? His victory is our victory. It don't seem like it. Well, God never tells us to go by what seems. He says, live by faith and not by sight. I don't feel like it. People don't feel like doing anything sometimes because they just don't want to do it. So they blame it on feel. Stop blaming feel for what you don't want to do. Y'all still with me? You're a winner because Jesus won. We have to know that. See, the problem for us is this. Although we are winners through Christ Jesus, a lot of times we come up, we make decisions, we do things, and we leave God out of the equation. Don't you know it doesn't matter how big or how small a decision you have to make is, don't you know it's always good to go to the Father, go to Jesus, ask for direction. But sometimes we think we can figure it out ourselves. I can do it. I don't need God for this one. Oh, yes, we do. We need God every day. See? Well, I can handle this one. Oh, no, you can't. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And some people make a decision. They're going to do it on their own. And Satan will make it look good for a while. And I was like, I know I can do this. I know I can do it on my own. I did it on my own. Amen. Y'all remember the song, right? I know I can do it. And about 3 minutes later, it comes crashing down. Why? Because it wasn't built on a firm foundation when you started. Talking about Jesus. And then we have people, Christians are really, amen, amen, amen. Then we start, we blame God. God, your word said I could have, why are we blaming God when we didn't go to him in the first place? We let mankind build us up. Oh, you got, if I was you, I would go ahead and try. Listen, they never tried it. But they try to build you up. Now, it's a difference when they encourage you. Oh, you're able to do it. You can do it. They're encouraging you. But if I was you, I would go ahead and do it. No, because they're not you. That's why they said if they were you, they would go ahead and do it. Because if they would go ahead and do it, they would do it instead of telling you to go ahead and do it. And then they build you up. They build us up, and then we fall. And I'm glad I said that, because this reminds me of something I always say. Just like Humpty Dumpty, all the king horses and all the king men could not put him back together again. But God can. He'll lift you up. He'll let you know what your mistake was. He'll let me know what my mistake was. And he'll pick us up and put us back on the path of his word, if we allow him to. We're not the same. We win because Jesus won. See, the enemy will come in and contradict God's word. The enemy will come in and tell you, you're not good enough. You're not qualified for that job. You have to have a master's times five degree. You only have a high school diploma. There's no way they're going to give you that job. Don't you know all blessings come from above? If it's meant for you, it doesn't matter what your education level is, it's going to be yours. Y'all still with me? The enemy will tell you, you can't make it. Nobody ever passed that test before, so you can't either. Your parents are nothing. You're not going to be anything either. I'm just telling you. You know, when I grew up, I'll tell you a little bit about when I grew up. You know, my parents, you know, they drunk alcohol a lot. They used to drink every day. They get a bottle of gin. People used to come over, and they just sit there and get drunk. I grew up like that. So I grew up, and I started drinking. A lot of wine and stuff. I don't know. Rum. Smoking. But one day I met Jesus. I met Jesus. And my life changed. Now, I'm not perfect. Because even when I met him, I still ended up going back, you know, backsliding, going back into the world for a lot of years. You can tell me, the church, I ain't going to church. I was too busy at the club. Oh, hey. I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about me. Y'all still with me? But there was a time in my life when it seemed like things were not going well. Things wasn't going good. And I remembered something that I really needed to remember. I remember that Jesus Christ saved me one day. And he still loves me. And so what I did was, I'm going back to God. Because what I'm trying to do is not working. Yeah, there were some good days. But I had more bad days. So I rededicated my life back to Jesus. And you know what I say to Satan now? How you like me now? Why? Because I'm a winner through Christ Jesus. And if you are a Christian, you are also. That supervisor is giving you a hard time? Don't worry about it. God will deal with this situation. I had a supervisor give me a hard time one time. And I had to work around him. And I could just feel the tension in the air. And I prayed to the Lord. Lord, you know the situation. I'm asking you to give me peace over that situation. Not after the storm was over, while I was in the storm. And next thing you know, Holy Spirit said, shower him with love. Like I'm joking, ask Minister Felicia. We used to work in the same office. She knows what I'm talking about. And every day, I would pass this individual, David. Good morning, sir. How you doing? Made it even madder. But you know, when you show Satan that you're a child of the Most High God, he get even mad. Do anybody know how to do this? Sir, I can get the information for you. You want me to get it for you? No, I don't want you to get it. I had every time I went to work. That I killed it with kindness. See, sometimes you got to keep people. You see, one thing about being a Christian, being born again, y'all still with me this morning. I hope y'all get something out of this lesson. You can't be mean because somebody else is mean to you. See, you have to understand that you've been made new. They still old. And some Christians, they act like they're old because they don't understand what being new is all about. So you can't have an attitude with someone because they had an attitude with you. You got to go around that person, and although it might be bothering you on the inside, you have to go around and walk around like it don't even bother you. You know why? Because on your inside, y'all ready? On the inside is where the Holy Spirit dwells. And he's going to fix your inside to match your outside. Y'all still with me? He's going to take care of the situation on the inside. Don't you know the Bible say God worketh in us? I could show you the scripture, but I don't have for the sake of time. I'll show it to you next week. The Bible said, he that began a good work in us shall perform it until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's in the scripture. He's still working on the inside of us. Y'all know, y'all seen the song, Never Stop, Never Stop Working, Never Stop. See, y'all just seen the song because it's words on the screen, right? But it's a true statement. Are y'all still with me? So we have to understand that we have to walk in newness of life. We can't act like other people act who's not walking in newness of life. We've been born again. Well, eventually the guy, he saw that, I wasn't going to be like him. So then, he and I started talking. Because I was talking to him anyway. And next thing you know, God ended up moving him out. Don't you know if your supervisor is bothering you, don't you know that God will move that supervisor out? I'm a living example. Are y'all still with me? I'm talking about me. I can tell y'all some more. I don't say stories because it's the truth. But when you put your faith in God, when you realize that God is bigger than any situation you can face, when you realize that the name of Jesus is above all names, when you realize that God is on your side and you are a winner, and you start living like you're a winner, you will always come out on top. Why? Because Jesus' victory is your victory. Y'all still with me? But when you try to do it yourself, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Don't you know that if you're going to give a piece of your mind away, then you're in trouble anyway. Because the Bible never tells you to give it away. It tells us to renew it. The Bible tells us we need to develop the mind of Christ. Are y'all still with me? So Satan will tell you, you're not good enough. But don't you know, to help us to deal with the enemy, God gave us two covenant gifts. He gave us two of them, two covenant gifts, and you already know what the gifts are. Number one, he gave us Jesus, the Word made flesh. And number two, he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us to deal with the enemy. Y'all still with me? I want you to go with me. I got a minute left. I want you to go with me to Isaiah 59 real quick. Amen. We're going to be doing for today. Part 3 next week. Isaiah 59. God gave us Jesus. God gave us the Holy Spirit to deal with the enemy. Isaiah 59. And I'm going to be done. Y'all all right? Isaiah 59. You got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You're not the same. So don't act like you're the same. While you're turning there, I'm just going to talk a little bit, and then we're going to read something. Isaiah was a prophet for the southern kingdom, okay, of Israel. He was the southern kingdom. And Judah, the southern kingdom, and Judah ended up going in exile to the Babylonians because of their rebellion towards God. God kept telling the prophet to let them know, yeah, you need to get your act together, because if not, I'm going to deal with you. And they didn't listen, like some of us don't listen today. And they end up going in exile to the Babylonians, okay? The northern kingdom went into exile to the Assyrians. But although they were in exile, God still loved them. You know, he didn't hate them, but he had to deal with them because they kept disobeying him. So there was a time here, we're going to read here in the scripture, that they were acting up, and God, there was no one to intercede for them. How many of you know we have an intercession? And in Isaiah 59, I'm almost done, just stay with me. In Isaiah 59, you know, we see an image of God as a warrior putting on armor gear. It's an image that Isaiah is talking about. And look at what Isaiah said here. I'm almost done. He said, and he saw, verse 16, and God, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Somebody say intercessor. There was no man, there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation into him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. How many of you know that God is a warrior? That's why the Bible says the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Amen? And then the Bible says in verse 18, it says, say it with me, I'm almost done. Amen. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay, fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. Amen. Now this is a prophecy by Isaiah the prophet. Y'all still with me? So at this time, the prophecy had not come true yet. Stay with me. And then he says in verse number 19, he says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. Talking about the enemy. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Y'all ready? And then the Bible says, when the enemy shall come in like a what? When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. When the enemy come into in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And then the Bible says, and the Redeemer shall come to Israel, Zion. Do y'all see that? It says the Redeemer shall come. The Redeemer shall come to Zion, and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. What did that tell us? God said, when every redeemer come, and his spirit shall be upon thee, he said that the words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of the mouth. And then look who else he said the words should not depart out of thy mouth, okay? He said the words should not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, children, nor out of the mouth of thy children's children, said the Lord, for henceforth and for evermore. How many of you know that applies to you also? Because right here, it was a prophecy. But how many of you know that what the Bible says that the Redeemer shall come? How many of you know the Redeemer has already come? And his name is Jesus. How many of you know the Holy Spirit has already come and he lives on the inside of you? So because the Redeemer has come, because the Holy Spirit has come, the enemy's that still doesn't stop the enemy from coming in like a flood. The enemy never stops coming. But Christian, the Bible says when he come in like a flood, whether it's on Monday, whether it's on Tuesday, whether it's on next Saturday, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord shall lift a standard against him. And how many of you know the standard has already been lifted against him? The standard is God's word. You have to understand that you have a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and Satan cannot stand up against it. Why? Because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Once again, you are not old, you are new. Amen? And you have to understand that there is nothing the enemy can do to you unless you allow him to. Why? Because he's already defeated. Go ahead and stand to your feet. I'm here to tell you this morning, and we'll do part three next week. I'm here to tell you this morning, you are a winner. Not just today, but every day. You are not the same person who you used to be. Those feelings that caused you to think the way you used to think, you need to get rid of those feelings. You need to turn them over to Jesus. The Bible says, cast all your cares on him, for he cared for you. Anything that's stopping you from being who God created you to do, you need to cast it on, give it to God. Because you are a winner. There's another verse in the Bible, we did not get to it today, I'll show you next week. The Bible says, tells us that we always triumph over anything because of Jesus. I mentioned to you last week, I didn't get to you today, but I'm going to show you that those same principalities, those same powers, those same rulers of the darkness of this world, those same spiritual wickedness in high places, Jesus defeated them. And if Jesus defeated them and his victory is your victory, you've already defeated them. I'm going to show you next week. See, when the Bible talks about, and I'm closing, the Bible talks about, Pastor Warren, I thought you said your stomach was weak. No, don't worry about it. That when the Bible talks about we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, it's not there to scare you. It's there to just let you know what you're up against. People, ooh, the principality, ooh, the power, ooh, the spirit, ooh. Don't worry about them. Because Jesus already defeated them. I'm going to show you next week. I'm going to show you the scripture. That's why I don't make up things. I use the scripture. If you go by the word of Christians, you can't go wrong. Yeah. Jesus already defeated them. And his victory is your victory. Well, Pastor, I never fought against them. You didn't have to. You get credit for everything that Jesus did. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's about recognizing that you're not the same person who you used to be. Like Earlene said earlier, sometimes you might feel like a Amen. Christians, you have the victory over him. Yeah, you have some. Sometimes you're gonna have some days. You know, you might not be. You have ups and downs. Only because you live in this world. But I'm reminding of a scripture in the Bible, where Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." Amen? Give God a hand praise because he's worthy. What a mighty God we serve. Every eye closed in the place. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't have to fight my own battle.